I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon, and this is Something Wild.
One of those time-honored New Year's traditions is taking stock.
Yeah, what we've done over the past year.
Or the past 13,000 years.
13,000?
Yeah, we've come a long way, baby.
I guess we have when you consider New Hampshire was covered with a mile-thick ice sheet 13,000 years ago.
Right, but after the retreat of that last glacier, we were basically tundra, permafrost. And in fact, trees don't reappear in these parts until about 8,000 years ago. Spruce, birch, poplars.
No kidding?
No, and it wasn't until 4,000 years ago that what we would recognize as the current mix of trees found in New Hampshire forests begin to reappear.
Reappear? You talk about them like they left and came back, like some sort of tree migration.
Exactly. Tree ranges are constantly changing as climate changes.
Ha! I knew it! Trees are really like birds in that sense.
Well, they are, but it's just the time scale of change is much longer than short-lived humans witness.
I think I see what you mean. We often see trees as static because we can only observe what we see in our life. So when a tree doesn't move for 70 years, we think of it like a statue.
And while individual trees only move in the wind, successive generations can cover a lot of ground.
How do we know all this?
Pollen cores.
Oh.
So we decided to call up William Wyatt Oswald.
This is Wyatt.
He's an associate professor at Emerson College.
And my own esoteric specialty is analyzing pollen grains.
And he analyzes pollen by examining pollen cores.
Pollen cores are a bit like tree cores. You send in an auger, and you pull out a plug.
Right, only pollen cores are pulled from bogs or lakes.
If you take a core of the sediment and you go down in the mud, you're going back in time.
Basically, any place you have a basin with water is a place you can pull a core of sediment.
Why is water such an important component?
Well, a sheet of water is going to collect data in the form of pollen, ash, dust, and then that data is going to precipitate down to the bottom of the basin and just lie there in layers.
That must be pretty dense mud.
It's kind of like thick pudding in terms of its consistency and appearance.
He pulls up these cores from the bottom of the lake and...
It's sort of like Christmas morning because it's right then you get to see exactly what you've collected. And, you know, we run a knife along the sediment and just sort of get a sense for what the mud looks like.
And Wyatt can read this mud?
So just as tree cores can give you context to the lifespan of a tree, a pollen core allows us to look at 10,000 years.
We can reconstruct the sequence of the trees as they came back into the Northeast following the retreat of the ice sheet.
So what do we see in these pollen cores?
Well, pollen, duh.
Funny.
Well, seriously, in these kinds of basins, pollen endures.
You know, it doesn't degrade over millennia, especially at the bottoms of lakes.
So when researchers find pollen in a sediment core, they can assume the vegetation it came from was also present.
And because each pollen grain has a distinctive shape, pine pollen doesn't look anything like chestnut pollen.
Looking at the pollen record, we can read when different trees disappeared or returned to the post-glacial landscape.
The trees that we think of as being New England species, like American beech and eastern hemlock, they would have camped out during the last ice age in, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky. But then over time, they made their way back.
We talk about bird ranges shifting over a couple of decades, but what we don't get is that tree species actually migrate over thousands of years, shifting their ranges in and out of the landscape.
And that's what pollen cores can show us. And the trees are still moving.
These plant communities, they're sort of ephemeral through time. These groups of species are not necessarily going to hang together going forward, just as they haven't really hung together in the past.
We can learn quite a bit from a few meters of mud.
Well, you should see the ice cores that they've pulled from the Greenland ice sheet. They go back millions of years, and they contain trapped bubbles of atmospheric carbon dioxide and methane.
Why don't we dig into that another day?
You can dig into past episodes of Something Wild by subscribing to our podcast. Search Something Wild on iTunes.
Or if you have a question about the natural world you'd like us to address, send us an email, somethingwild@nhpr.org. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. Something Wild is a joint production of the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, New Hampshire Audubon, and NHPR.